I had to use the large print hymn book today. Last night we were outside with some neighbors and I was attacked by some no-see-ums. I ended up, it was either DEET or Benadryl lotion got into my right eye. And I was only able to open it this morning, and I've had a lot of washing of that eye today. And so I have a hard time reading the bulletin this morning, but the large print hymn book works really well. Today is Dedication Sunday in the life of our church, and I want to say to those who are guests this morning, you are indeed welcome to come forward and participate in this act, this baptismal renewal, renewal of your baptismal vows, and also to touch the font in that act of dedication of your life to God for the coming year. And we welcome all to do that. We conclude today our stewardship series, which has been using the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. We have sung a stanza of that, a different stanza each week. If you go back and look at that hymn in your hymn book, you will note it is like an encyclopedia, that hymn, on how to give of yourself. And today, the last sermon in this series is entitled, Numbering Our Days. We turn now our attention to the reading of God's Word. There are three readings. The first comes from the psalmist, and I'm reading this particular psalm from the King James Version. Just one verse in Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then turning in 2 Kings chapter 20, the first six verses, this is the story of King Hezekiah, who has become ill. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember now, O Lord, I implore you, how I have walked before you in faithfulness with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight. Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Turn back and say to Hezekiah, Prince of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Indeed, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And then in the Gospel of Luke, we find this teaching that comes after Jesus has told his disciples and those gathered not to worry about their life, what they shall eat or drink. And then he says in verse 32, Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, in these next few moments, silence any voice within us but your own. Speak to each one of us, O Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Leo Bascaglia, he was a popular university professor some years ago at the University of Southern California. He died in the late 90s. He taught a course at USC each year entitled, of all things, Love 101. He was a boisterous and jolly fellow. He was fun. He was very passionate about life. And he gave all his students in that class only one paper assignment to write for that semester. And the topic was this: if you had only 5 days to live, what would you do and with whom? He reported over the years he had received some tremendous papers from his students. And he was one of those professors who made lots of notes on the papers of his students. And on the end of every one of those papers, he would finally write to his students who wrote on that topic, why don't you do the things you've mentioned in this paper now? It makes a point, doesn't it? This idea leads us back through the centuries to the palace chamber of the king of Israel, King Hezekiah. The prophet Isaiah had come to this sick king's bedchamber and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die." And we read this morning that the king prayed and that God answered Hezekiah's prayer and he healed him. And then we're told he gave him 15 more years to live. I had met one of our regular visitors this past week at the mall, of all things, and Glenn is his name. He's not here today. He worships at 11 o'clock. And he said to me, "Pastor, guess what I bought this week?" And I said, "What did you buy?" He said, "I bought a countdown clock." He said, "I'm in my early 80s, and I have set that clock to when I am 95 years of age. That's how long I would like to live." I said, "What happens if you live after 95 and the clock runs out?" He said, "Every day is a gift." All these experiences, they raise the question I want to raise with you this morning. How would you live if you knew that you only had a short time? How would you set your house in order? What would you do and with whom? I ask this question this morning as lovingly as I know how, because part of our faith tells us, as the scriptures do, that there are limits to our life. There are limits. And that sort of honesty can benefit us. It can bring about in us a creative urgency about living constructively. Many of you, sometimes I watch the Tampa Bay Bucks on television on Sunday afternoon. I don't know that I'll do that after last week, but you may recall last week the Bucks had scored a go-ahead touchdown. It had been a good game, and they scored that touchdown in the last 40 seconds. I thought they were going to beat the Houston Texans. And with only 40 seconds left, that rookie quarterback on that team set a record in passing, and they won with only a few seconds left. It reminded me, and as it should remind all of us, that even with a short time, we can accomplish great things. The psalmist also points us to life's shortness. And then notice in Psalm 90, and I would encourage you to read all of Psalm 90, that then the psalmist prays to God saying, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." That's good advice, because even with all the knowledge that we gain in life, even with all the knowledge, it still takes wisdom to make good decisions. One of the values of realizing our mortality, as you may know, is that we are able to receive a new respect, a deep awe and wonder about God, God who is eternal. The psalmist prays, "Teach me to number my days," because he knows that God wants to teach us how to measure our days so that we might acknowledge our forever need on Him and Him alone. We would be nothing without God, God who is eternal and all-powerful. Many of you recall the old hymn that goes, "We blossom and flourish like leaves on a tree, and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee." This is also the great theme of our Reformed Presbyterian heritage. It has its focus in our faith on the majesty, the otherness, the transcendence of God, who is mighty and powerful. And that is worth always remembering. We may over time in our life become deep and wise people over time when we come to fully understand the brevity of our days and the majesty and the eternal nature of our God. I had a telephone call this week. I talked to my younger brother Danny almost every day, and I was trying to explain this particular series. He wanted to know what I was doing lately in the preaching. I don't get that often with my family, believe it or not. They hear enough of me, but he wanted to know. And I explained today's sermon to him as best as I could on a Tuesday. And he said, "Brother, you are preaching a country song title." And I said, "What do you mean? I don't listen to country music." He said, "Well, there is a song you need to listen to by Tim McGraw. And the song is entitled, Live Like You Were Dying." That would have made a good sermon title. Another way to say this is, what if we just had 1 year to live? Let's put it in perspective, just 1 year. How well Jesus of Nazareth knew that he had only a few years to live. As you read the Gospels, it seems Jesus lived every day to its fullest, with urgency and yet without anxiety. He was hammering out his convictions, healing, and the teaching everywhere he went, and he made every day count for all eternity for us. And so come along with me this morning and ask yourself that hypothetical question: what if I had just 1 year to live? What if? What would you do? Well, first of all, would you be able to say, I would fill every day with responsibility? Would you say that? Would you say, I wouldn't just cut out and run out on life and all my relationships? Perhaps you heard about the man who won the lottery some years ago. This happens quite often to people who win the lottery. He automatically quit his work and he started vacationing every day, never stopping in his leisure activities. Question, what gives meaning to living then, if that's all that we do, if we have no responsibilities and we do not seek to give back? What happens then? Or more seriously, so many people seem to be unable to face life with all of its stresses, and the primary often use of their time is trying to escape from things in one way or another. But if you had only 1 year to live, I hope that you would not try to escape your responsibilities. I hope you would be faithful in all your relationships. I've been reading, as you may have noted last Sunday, I've been reading again about Francis of Assisi. And he made an interesting statement once when he was working out in his garden of all places. It seems that someone came up to him and asked him, what would he do if he were to suddenly learn that he was to die that day in the lengthening of the shadows and the setting of the sun? And St. Francis said, I would finish the hoeing in my garden. My friends, that's what faith is all about. Faith means calmly facing and finishing the ordinary tasks and responsibilities that God has given us. To get yourself together and to do it with flair, with dignity, not to panic and not to have anxiety. We are called by God to be faithful in the little things and in our responsibilities. Isn't that what you would want to do if you just had 1 year to live? If so, why not live that way now? Well, secondly, if you had just a year to live, if I had just a year to live, I would stress relationships with people more than anything, far more than things. There would be some people I would want to look straight in the eye and say, I love you. You mean so much to me. I don't know how I could have made it without you. I'm reminded of the story about the rather strict, straight-laced New England farmer. He had just had his 50th wedding anniversary, and he said to his wife, Margaret, Margaret, after all these years, I have had a fondness for you. And there have been several occasions when I was tempted to tell you. And the question comes, why did he wait so long? Why hesitate, perhaps years, to tell someone how much they mean to you? Why put it off? How blessed we have been, so many of us, to people who have helped us along our way. Tell them now. Tell them now. Buttonhole them down. This is how much you mean to me. Still others, perhaps, you might say, if I had a year to live, I would wish to express perhaps some apology to someone and humbly say, I'm sorry. Under the pressure, you see, of our days being numbered, some honest feelings may need to be expressed by some of us, for the time is short. Thirdly, if I had 1 year to live, I would encourage others to concentrate, as well as myself, on those values that are lasting and eternal. It would be priority time, right? How sure I would be that I did not give first-rate attention to third-rate problems. All of life, we make choices, do we not? All of life, we make choices. There is a decision today about what each one will make their level of giving for the coming year as we renew our commitments and as we come forward and touch the baptismal font and dedicate our lives anew to Christ. And in doing so, I hope that we see how so much of life is superficial. There is so much paraphernalia that draws our attention away from God, our eternal God. In our decisions, you see, it's almost never between something good and bad. It's usually between something better or best. And that's a difficult decision often to make. And here's the wisdom God taught not only King Hezekiah, but King David and King Solomon. He taught them the truth that money does not buy happiness. It doesn't. Jesus said it this way, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. What a wonderful phrase. Make purses that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, said Jesus, there your heart will be also. Well, fourthly, if I knew I was only going to have a year to live, I would want to give priority to God and my relationship with God, the number one priority. We read that King Hezekiah, when he heard that he was about to die, he turned his face to the wall and he prayed to God. I'm certain that was a sincere prayer. There might have been some unfinished business that Hezekiah was asking God about to let him live to finish it. I had a friend some years ago who died who was battling cancer in Sarasota. And he said to me, Pastor, you know, he said, I'm not new to prayer. I have been a prayer warrior all my life. But nowadays, he said, I am praying on my knees because God is shaping me and remolding me even now to his glory. I too would want to embrace a clearer vision of my relationship with the eternal if I had only 1 year to live. And finally, if I knew that I were to live just one more year, I would want to hold on to the triumph of the promised resurrection. That was what the New Testament announces to us. Triumph. You can almost see it when you read about the disciples. You can almost imagine it in the light of their eyes, that passion for the triumph of the resurrection promised to them by Jesus Christ. They could not wait to go out into the world that they knew, and tell about that good news. In the pagan world in which they live, think about it, where death was faced with gloom or resignation or often with terror, the Christians had something else. They had something else to embrace. And they faced dying in the most appalling forms under Roman rule. They died at the stake. They died in the arena. They were crucified on crosses. They were lit as candles on the side of hills. And they faced death often with songs of praise on their lips. That's the record. They conquered the ancient world because they knew how to die in it, and they outlived it. I have read that in the catacombs in Rome, over 500,000 Christians are buried there. And among the inscriptions on the walls written by those early Christians, there are many notes of victory. But there is not one note of lament. If I had but 1 year to live, I would want to face death with that sense of triumph, banners and trumpets of the great message, the Lord God reigns forever and ever. And so for today, here we are, about to come forward as we have done for so many years in this act of rededication. And we have been dealing with this hypothetical question about the number of days that we have. And I want to say to you this morning, I don't think there's anyone here in this room that's in a hurry. Is there? As a matter of fact, there are times that I want to cry out, "Oh, world, I love you. This world can be so good. It's so beautiful, this world that God has given us. There are good times to be had by all." None of us knows how much time we truly have. And that being the case, why don't we recommit our lives to Him today? Let's do that today. Let us pray as we prepare to come and do just that. O Lord our God, as we come now to the baptismal font, the symbol of your abundant grace, the sign of our rebirth, to live each day as your disciple. O Lord, help us to be responsible in all of our tasks. Help us to stress relationships and honest feelings, to concentrate on lasting values, and to give our primary attention to our relationship with you. And help us to live in the triumph of life over death that you have promised. And so we come now to do just that and make that promise. Amen.